Thanks for listening to Matt McLaughlin History. Become a subscriber to receive exclusive bonus episodes, ad-free listening, early access to all episodes, and special member-only events. Click on the link in the show notes or visit patreon.com/mmhistory.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A Living History production.
This is the Living History Podcast, broadcasting live across the airwaves.
Hello, it's Matt McLaughlin, and thank you for joining me for another episode of Living History. There's a lot of great things going on at the moment, so if you want to get involved, please do. Don't forget to subscribe for extra bonus content. If you want to come on a tour with us to walk the battlefields, click on the link in the show notes. Come and join us on a battlefield tour. It's a really wonderful thing to do. To the show this week, speaking of walking battlefields, a few months ago I was very fortunate to be in Belgium and had the opportunity to visit quite a unique site. It's a site that is definitely an important battlefield site, but it's in an incongruous location. It is in the middle of an industrial zone. It's called Yorkshire Trench. It was discovered in the 1990s when they were expanding an industrial zone outside the town of Ypres. And what they found was there was a complete original trench system and a huge dugout system buried just beneath the ground. So trenches that had been constructed by the French early in the war and then taken over by the British. And that's why it's called Yorkshire Trench, and an amazing dugout that they were able to clear out, and they found so many relics and remnants of the fighting there in the First World War. And wonderfully, they've preserved the site. It's not a very big site. It's just a section of trenches, which is only a very small area, just a couple of hundred metres by a couple of hundred metres, right in the middle of an industrial zone. It's quite remarkable. If you go to Ypres, please do go and check it out, because it's really quite extraordinary to see this little preserved piece of history right in the heart of a modern development. It's a wonderful site. It's a great credit to the people of Ypres and Flanders that they've preserved it for future generations. So it was a real privilege to go there and walk the ground. And I was accompanied on this journey by Walter Sinave from In Flanders Fields Museum, really a fantastic institution, keeping, again, the memory of the First World War alive. So please enjoy this as we walk the ground. There will be a video version of this coming up later, so watch this space to find out when that is. But in the meantime, please enjoy this experience of walking the ground at Yorkshire Trench. Walter, this is an extraordinary site. We have a First World War trench system in the middle of, let's be honest, an industrial estate. We're surrounded by buildings. There's trucks going past. There's a wonderful odour in the air of industry. I mean, this is an extraordinary site. Can you tell us just a little bit about how this preserved trench system came to be here?
Yeah, well, it's just like you mentioned, it's just a strange observation to have First World War in the middle of industrial area. But let's be honest, it's happened here. This is the place where it all happened. And after First World War, people came back rebuilding their lives, and it almost disappeared. It's thanks to the diggers. It's a group of amateur archaeologists who discovered this spot. A farmer was doing his job, and even at one moment, the wheel of his tractor went like this, and they discovered a hole in the ground. So the diggers came by, finding out what was all around, and they discovered a trench, but also a dugout. So this was really the story of the First World War, right on this spot.
How long ago was this site rediscovered?
Well, we're talking about 1998. Well, there have been several moments, but in 1998 it was really discovered, because this was the moment that the town of Ypres decided that this area should become industrial area. And that's also the moment that the diggers had something of, oh, watch out, because we are having industrial area in a place where they had former battlefields. Please, let's find out what's in the ground first before building factories. and they discovered so many things. And luckily, we were able to preserve this little spot, because normally there should be just another factory here on this spot. But because of the importance of this spot, several parts came together and said, no, we really have to preserve this space.
Was that a difficult decision? Because what did the people who wanted to build factories here, what did they think when a group of archaeologists came in and started digging up the ground?
It's a daily confrontation of, if you build something right here, you know, if you start to dig in the ground, you have the story of the First World War. And most of all things has disappeared. And it's the attention for the First World War that has been growing later on that made it possible to preserve this spot. I'm pretty sure if this spot was discovered in the 70s or 80s, it would have disappeared just like everything else. So we were lucky enough to have this at the end of the 90s, to have this spot, because at that moment there was some kind of awareness. Yes, this is really important to keep this story right here.
Well, it's more than just preserved trenches as well, because the archaeologists uncovered a huge number of bodies here, didn't they? A startling number of human remains were found in the site, which would have been lost.
More than 200 bodies were discovered on the spot. Trying to find out, because this is also one of the things, you have a human body, but it's a person. It's a person that lost his life right here. There's a family somewhere who still has no idea, only the fact that, he died, but his name is maybe mentioned on the Menin Gate, or so many other memorials where names are mentioned, but then you have a body. And for some of them, it was even possible to get identification, most of them not. It was just a body, and those bodies has been reburied then on the cemetery, German, French, Belgian, or British cemetery here in the area then.
It's just extraordinary to think, in this relatively small area, it wasn't just this site, it was some other sites as well, but in a relatively small area, if they could uncover 200 bodies, how many are lying under that building there or this one next door?
Yeah,
or right where we're standing, you know, it's quite extraordinary.
We have the story of the Wiper Salient, thanks to... We made with our museum a list of all the people that died here in Belgium because of the First World War. All the names of all the soldiers, civilians, because they're all victims of that story. And it's a list of 600,000 names. Knowing that when the war came to stand still, this was really the center of the battlefield in Belgium, well, a huge amount of the 600,000 that died right here. And if you start to count how many bodies are buried on the cemeteries in the area, how many have been repatriated, well, make that kind of calculation and you're for sure there are lots of bodies still all over.
And why was it important to preserve this section of trench? What is significant about the trenches we're looking at here?
Because it's one of the only trenches, and that's also the reason why we were so happy that it was possible to reconstruct it, because it's the only British trench we have in the whole area that's still here on the spot where it was. So you can really walk in a trench like this, knowing this was the third line of the British who were here at that moment, having the idea, okay, but over there, if you walk a bit further, at that time you could walk in the direction of the Belgian coast. The spot that goes up right here, at that time you could walk further in the direction of the border of Switzerland. So this is a very small part of that huge story of the Western Front that was there. And Edmund Blunden said, I must walk on the field, I must walk on the place where it all happened again. Well, it can't be more concrete than that. There's no Disneyfication of it. No, it's really standing on the spot where it happened. So a stronger signal is not possible than this.
Can you give us a very quick history of how these trenches came to be dug, why the front line was here?
Right. Well, there's a double story right here, because if you look to this place, you have in the grass also a kind of a gap right there. This was a French trench at that moment, created very shortly after the first gas attack. 22nd of April 1915, 6,000 bottles of gas were opened and a cloud of gas was coming more or less in this direction. The man right there didn't have a clue. Were shooting against this cloud, but then after a while, knowing you can't breathe anymore, you start to panic, and from that moment on you start to run. Running away from the enemy, but running with that cloud of gas. So many men died. New troops came over. And in the battle that followed, well, the war came to a standstill again. A new front line was formed. And this was a trench that the French has created. Later on, the French were placed on another spot. The British came over to this spot. And then, after a while, a complete new trench was created. At that time, the Yorkshire Trench we have right here was the third line. Because, if you just have some idea, if you look in this direction, well, we have where you have the windmill, more or less. There was a place where you had the second line, and then you had a bit further the front line, the first line, looking up to no man's land, and then the German line a bit further. So it was a third line, and it also is quite clear, because if you look how it is constructed, you even can see that they had the possibility to make it a bit more comfortable if you compare it with a first line. Because here, this trench does have A-frames and dugboards. In the battle against water in the trenches, they found a solution with those A-frames and dugboards. The original one are in the museum, but it's the whole reconstruction you can find in the trench.
Fantastic. Well, looks amazing. Let's go and have a look.
All right.
So, Walter, you mentioned the French constructed this quite shallow trench we're currently walking down. You also mentioned the gas attack, which was pretty horrific in this part of the salient.
Yeah.
Just tell us a little bit about what was going on in 1915 when the French were here.
Well, in the idea of going to a war of movement made a whole new technology also possible in military logical way. And from the German side, the idea was, but on the Allied side, they had the same minds of why don't we use chemical weapons? Quite strange, because it was forbidden. There was a convention. It was you couldn't use chemical weapons during warfare. But Fritz Haber, who developed the chloride gas, his idea was, no, we are not fooling around with this convention, because they're talking about projectiles that can't be shot. Okay. So we have bottles, we're opening bottles, so that's not a projectile. So no worries, they're not fooling around with that kind of convention. So yes, at the 22nd of April, 6,000 bottles were opened, and a cloud of gas, of chloride gas, was moving upwards in this direction. The man standing there didn't have a clue. In the beginning, they were shooting in the direction of the cloud. When the cloud enters their trenches, they came to the conclusion, we can't breathe anymore, start to panic, and then you start to run.
Very so that was all in this area where we're standing.
It was here, in this area. So they're running up to here. Many men died. New troops were sent forward, and same story happened. Try to make some little defenses, make a little hole in the ground, and from that spot on you have some kind of a view on the enemy. So this is what the French has created as a kind of very shortly temporary trench, because yeah, trenches that for their point of view was digging in is not so heroic. So it's just temporary, and then over the top and off we go again. And
well, let's keep exploring it. I mean, I'm sure it's shallower now than it was during the war, but it's also reflective of those early phases of the war when no one was quite sure what would occur, where the lines would stabilize, and you had these very, very shallow, temporary frontline positions.
Yeah, and keeping in mind that from that moment on, we're also dealing with a kind of war that death most of the times come from up. Grenades coming from that direction, and every moment like this could be end of story. So even in that part, this place like this is also quite remarkable, if you have the feeling of, yes, we're standing right here.
I think it's great, Walter, that you're telling this part of the story as well, because we tend to get a little anglophobic and just tell the story about the British versus the Germans, particularly in this part of the salient, because that was the bulk of the story in 1917 in particular. But we shouldn't forget that other nations were here. The Belgians did a wonderful job early in the war in this area as well.
The thing is, when I was at school and they learned me the story of the First World War, it sounds so simple, because you had the Belgians, the French, the English fighting against the Germans. Oh, yeah, and at the end we had the Americans. Oh, and then, we have won the war. End of story. I already mentioned our nameless 600,000 people that died here in Belgium because of the First World War. We also found out that those 600,000 people came from 120 different countries. Wow. So we're talking about a world war for a reason. We had more or less the whole world right here. People from Africa, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, India, name them. They were here. Even youngsters from Jamaica came over to fight for
king and country, whatever they had in mind, but they were here.
Do French people come up here to visit, to hear the French story, or is this a story that's been completely dominated now by the British?
It's more or less dominated by the British. And I think for the main reason for the French, well, in France, they do have their places where they have that confrontation with the result of the First World War and their memorials. So most of the French are doing the things in France. But well, it's a bit sad to see because their role here during the first year of the war, when it came to stand still on this spot, and also at the end, the role of the French was very, very important. But we have a kind of feeling that this is something that is more so left forgotten in France.
Well, we mentioned the French story. It's great it's told. But now let's go and look at the British part of the story.
All right.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
So, Walter, when they discovered the trench was still here, it must have been a great surprise to them and a great delight to know that the trench was still here. And I assume what we're seeing follows the track of the original trench.
This is what makes this place so special, because yes, it's a reconstruction, but it's on the place where it was. It's the shape that it had. It is as deep as it was at that time. So it's a real original part of that story that you have right here. So we are really standing on the place where many soldiers were standing. Keeping in mind that the front line was right up there, and looking here in a deep alley that goes 12 meters under the ground, because this is also one of the reasons why this spot is so special. There's still a dugout here on this spot.
And this is the key, isn't it? It's not just the Yorkshire Trench, it's the Yorkshire Trench and dugout, and this is the entrance to that dugout.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary. What was discovered down in here was quite extraordinary as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Because the moment they discovered it, well, they found a hole in the ground filled with water and mud. So they started to pump, and there was a stairway downstairs that appeared 12 meters under the ground, ending in a long alley and several rooms that appeared. And so they found a room with beds, a room where a carpenter has done his job. All lots of objects were still there, so all the objects that have been found have been brought out and are now in Flanders Fields Museum. The dugout is still here because it's thanks to the water, because the groundwater level here in this area is quite high. And thanks to the water, this room has preserved all that time. It was the water that made this construction hold like this. The only problem we had, and also due to climate change, is that the water level has been going down. So it means that the whole defense was collapsing. And the entrance, there are two entrances for this dugout. They collapsed because this dugout is created in wood. It has been underwater for such a long time. When you have no water, wood starts to rot and it collapsed. So both entrances has collapsed. Thanks to many people that helped us bringing money together, we were able to reconstruct the both entrances, and now you really can just look down into this dugout on the place where it all happened.
very interesting right here is you have five of those living projectors, also found here by the diggers in the area. We placed five of them, normally have most 60 standing next to each other. And this is the next level of the chemical warfare. Because in the Living's projector, they put a cylinder filled with chemicals, chloride or phosgene gas, put it inside, you have the explosion, then that tube filled with chemicals is just flying over the own troops, no man's land, and then collapse on the place where the enemy was. And from that spot on, then you have that cloud of gas that appears. Strange if you think about it, because those are projectiles. There's a convention, you can't use projectiles. Well, and this is also the sarcastic thing in warfare, because as soon the Germans were using gas for the first time, the whole world was confronted and say, you can't do it, there's a convention, and blah, and keep on going on. And a few months later, you have something like this, and then you say, yeah, this is a projectile. And then the answer of the Allies was, yeah, it's true, but you know, the problem with those bottles that we're using, like you, if the wind is turning, you have the gas in your own troops, so it's much safer to do something like this. So, and yes, there's a convention, but that's a piece of paper, so yeah, well...
times change during war, don't they? Perspectives change.
Yes. So and in that way, all that kind of conventions are really necessary. But it's, again, some kind of a proof. It's used by them who can use them. And after all, if... And don't forget, we'll do just the same thing. So that red line, well, it's moving and moving and moving. So,
how much does this trench, Walter, give people an impression of what it was like during the war? Is this an accurate representation of what it was like to be in a First World War trench?
Well, it's accurate because, one, it's on the spots where it was. It's the height, the depth... Everything is like it was. From that point of view, you have some kind of an idea, but to have an idea of what it really was, nobody can. No kind of reenacting of whatever could have some kind of an idea of, yes, this is how it was. No, you're standing on the spot where it happened. I think that's the most important part. This and reading the stories of the men who were here.
You've even got the weather cooperating. The Flanders rain is even coming down, so we're getting some sort of experience.
Yeah, and the smell as well. So everything fits together, definitely, yeah.
Well, let's keep exploring.
Great. Maybe just one thing. It's maybe strange walking on this height in a trench. The reason why this is filled with sand is also with the story of the water level going down. The whole construction isn't that good anymore, so many parts of this trench was also collapsing. And in a way to protect this spot, we filled many parts with sand, and if we found enough money, then we can preserve this spot as well.
Well, even that, Walter, tells an interesting story, because soldiers who talked about being in trenches, most of what they were doing was trying to keep the trenches from falling in.
Yeah.
Nature does not want these human interjections in the landscape, doesn't it? It wants to revert to nature. And that's what we're seeing here. The men during the war struggled to keep the trenches in any decent shape. And
definitely.
You're finding the same thing a century later.
Right here you have a plate used by snipers. So you have the point where they're putting their rifle in. One of the reasons you had right here, because after a while you have a kind of a battle between snipers as well. As soon as they knew where one sniper was, they were sending another sniper to try to find him. And one of the things they had in mind, if you're shooting a rifle, there's always one flight of light that you can see, and that is a very interesting point. From that point, you know, okay, that's the place where he is. So with a plate like this, the idea was, shooting and pulling back your rifle. On several of those sniper plates, we even had a small thing that could fall down, so that even this plate was just a complete full plate without any hole that was visible. This is also one that has been found in this trench.
It seems to me, Walter, that by having these small details, you are helping us a century later to understand what life was like for these men. There's no way we can understand what they went through. How do people react to this, particularly young people, when they come here? I mean, this must be quite a revealing experience for young people.
Yes, and in the beginning, they all have some kind of fun part of it. Wow, it's a trench, and look us going, and until you start to bring the stories of what happened here and the impact of what happened here to those men right here, but also to the families who heard the news that their father, son, brother never came back. And that's the moment you have that kind of switch of, right, you have all those kind of heroic stories and heroes, and but after all, it's a huge story of lost that you bring, and places like this makes it more aware of what happened.
You're a teacher, so you've spent a lot of time with young people. You now run educational programs. Do they get it? Do young people and do the iPhone generation understand what this was like?
Yeah, but I have to admit, when I start with a group, the first things I start with is bringing them the fact of, I do know you're standing here with something of, yeah, we're here to hear something about the First World War, something that happened more than 100 years ago. Come on, do your story as fast as possible. Then you have some chocolates at the marketplace and off we go. But then I said, there's a reason why we still bring this story. And that's the moment I make it quite personal for me, because I was born here in this area, living in an area where you have a daily confrontation with result of war, and confronted with the fact, if you just look to the news, that we're just doing the same thing in another way, but the mechanisms that made the First World War possible are still here. They're still used, and we have so many other conflicts that appear or goes on, and so the war to end all wars, because that was the beautiful story about the First World War, it's bollocks. We're just doing the same thing again and again and again. And I think that's also the main reason, if you live here, having a daily confrontation with the result of war, and you see people are just doing the same thing, you have two possibilities. You can say, yeah, whatever. Or you can say, no, we have to talk about it. And I have the thing, if I have groups coming over and I start with that part of the story, then they make some kind of a click. Understanding what happened during the First World War helps them to understand of what goes on in the world right now. Helps them to understand what's war all about. And for that reason, those places are very, very, very important.
It's a pretty special place, Walter, and you do get that feeling. You do walk a little bit with ghosts when you walk through that trench. As a local person who lives here on the battlefield, why is it important that we preserve these? And I ask this because we've got, how many? Hundreds of cemeteries. There's trenches, there's Hill 60, which is a preserved battlefield. Yeah. There's so many sites. Why is it important that a relatively new one like this is preserved and we remember what went on here?
Well, it's so important because it's part of our history. It's part of world history. It's a part of something that happened that changed the world completely. So if you want to understand a bit more about war and especially how the world is turning, to preserving places like this are absolutely necessary, because this is something that you can't put on another spot and say, yeah, just walk around and no, this is real. Again, from this point on, you could at that time walk further in the direction of the border of Switzerland. So it can't be more concrete than this. Adding the stories, the testimonies, well, yeah, it's a full package.
And how do you feel when you walk through this trench?
My feeling, there's a feeling of glad we have this spot, because it could have been something else completely. It could have been completely forgotten and just be just another factory and end of story. And for me, because this is located in Busingen, it's even the village where I grew up. When I was 12 years old and they discovered this spot, I came even with my bike, I entered even this dugout. It makes clear that places like this are very important. Even UNESCO has now the idea this is kind of world heritage. Those cemeteries, the stories of the First World War that are still in the landscape, should be preserved. Because it's not just a story of war, it's an appeal for peace. And standing on a place like this, well, this is really a kind of an image. Okay, guys, starting a war, well, think again.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review for the podcast and visit livinghistorytv.com for more great history content.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.